Shalom. Welcome to the Remnant Mama Show, where we are living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, and we are continuing with Part 2B with Suzette Robinson on the Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride series. Last week, we left off with discussing about buying products that already had glass so that we could use that glass and recycle it and find other ways to make them useful. Now we will continue.
I do. We like peanut butter jars are awesome. The glass ones, I used to make candles out of those a lot.
And also, you know, like if you're sending lunch with your family, it's bad enough if they mic their food. We won't go into that, but we don't want to mic. But let's say, regardless of whether they are or they aren't, instead of using plastic containers for food, you can store your food back in the fridge or send it out to lunch in all these different wonderful sizes that glass is available.
We have a saying in our house. We say we turn wine into water. We take wine bottles and wash them out and use them for water in the refrigerator to have cold water. Now, I don't take those when I'm going out on the road. I use recycled glass water bottles.
Oh, why not? well, you know, the other great thing that wine bottles are good for, and say like the dark bottles, like your Worcestershire sauce like your A1 sauce, your dark bottles, which of course a lot of times is your wine bottles, is if you're going to get into wildcrafting or buying your herbs and tincturing, these are great bottles to have to put your tinctures in.
Yeah, because they're tinted, and that's important with the oils and things, and they're beautiful.
Right. So basically, this becomes a lifestyle. You're always thinking kind of ahead, and you're thinking about what is healthier for your family and what's more economical.
Absolutely. Yeah. Preparation is really, really is a lifestyle. I mean, you can start now if you've not started with anything, and, you know, get your basic real serious list, but then it becomes a way of life. And you're going to be much more prepared if you make it a way of life and feel much more confident.
Amen. So now you've got some resources to share, and then we'll get back into that auto checklist.
Yes, we didn't get to any resources last week, and there's just no end to them between websites and books and blogs you can get on. There is just a real endless supply of resources out there, but there's some particularly good books, if I can find them on my list, that are great.
Well, the first one that I have on here is the Animal Track Guides by Waterford Press.
Yes, and they come in for your particular area. So, like, for instance, we don't have grizzly bears in Michigan, but if I was going to go to Montana, that would be a serious thing I would want to know about. You want to know the predatory animals for sure, and those are by geographical location. And they're not very expensive. I think they're about $4 or $5 for a little, like it's a plastic-coated folded card.
They also have them for the stars and the constellations, which you could use for direction.
That'd be awesome. The Boy Scouts Handbook, 1911 edition. Dover Publications, they have a great resource for original, unabridged classics and stuff for school, homeschooling and things. And that's one place you can get that Boy Scouts handbook. And that has your basics like knot tying and camping skills and things like that. The Complete Guide to Edible Wild Plants from the Department of the Army. That's a general edible plant guide. You definitely want to either really study it, have an expert with you, or have pictorial guides, because one wrong choice can be deadly. And I think there was recently a news story I saw just this past week on the news about somebody did mushroom soup somewhere and killed some people, used the wrong mushrooms. I want to say it was California. And there's other plants, too, that are easily confused that are poisonous. Hawk's Green Beret Survival Manual, Essential Strategies for Shelter and Water, Food and Fire, Tools and Medicine, Navigation and Signaling, Survival Psychology, and Getting Out Alive. And him and his wife have one of the survival shows on TV where they go off, and she was a newscaster and he's a survival guy. And they eat a lot of unclean things, but they do have a lot of good tips. And www.armchairsurvivalist.com is a good website. He sells supplements, he sells foods, dehydrated packaged survival foods, and he has a lot of information on there about all kinds of things for survival lifestyle and things.
Okay, so we also are do you have any more resources right now? Because we need to go back and review that checklist that we started last week.
Right, the auto checklist. Yeah, I don't think we finished it last week, and we were going to go through and review it.
Review the four areas. You said there, you remember there were four areas of the checklist, and we were just covering the auto so far.
Okay. The auto, which is things you would have as commuters, we definitely don't walk or have the health, most of us, that to walk the distance that we even drive to go back and forth to work or even back and forth to the grocery store. The general is your general supplies in your home or in your bug out location or in various other locations, perhaps on route to a location. Your exodus or flea bag or bug out bag or your nomadic bag is the bag with the most important items that are, it's ready packed, ready for you to grab it if you just have to run out the door. And then your first aid kit.
Right. And, you know, backing up kind of along the lines, your auto bag could also be your mobility. I'm sorry, not the bag necessarily, but your auto supplies could also be your mobility supplies. And if you go back and take that, again, we were talking about lifestyle. When we need to, like, always be building towards new skills, incorporating them into our lives. For instance, like the wild crafting, knowing what the food is in your regional local area for that's edible, medicinal, that you can get, and to go out the different types of times of the year. Because, like, for instance, I can identify some plants readily when they're in bloom or when they're in seed, but I don't really know what they look like at other times of the year. So it's good to dig those guides out. Why building family relationships with your family and going out on walks or hikes or four-wheel rides. And while you're doing it, look at the medicinal plants at the different times of the year, identify them, find out what to do with them. Maybe experiment, and once you've identified them clearly, use them and process them medicinally and or for food. And I know people in this area that take walks with their goats because they can use the goats as backpack animals and or their dogs. And so they're exercising, they're going out with their family, they're spending time with their family, hiking, etc. But at the same time, they're learning more and more skills. And in one of the shows that I did a couple of years ago, I had the mountain man who lived off grid. And what really amazed me was nettles, which is awesome for the blood. And I think you can use it as a natural rennet for cheese. But one of the things that he did that really cracked me up, but I thought, well, you know, that's a pretty good idea. He would purposely walk in amongst the nettles and allow them to sting him, so that he could build up an immunity to them, so that if he ever had to start hiking with his animals and go nomadic, he didn't have to worry so much about the nettles. So we'll come back and get into that auto list
right after this short commercial. Have Sweet Dreams and Remnant Remedy's new 100% linen fabric pajamas and nightwear, and lounge around in our linen bathrobes. Also, visit Remnant Remedy's used linen garments, now offered by Shoshana. Shoshana's linens are good for everyday wear, making an affordable transition from your old, common, man-made wardrobe, while allowing more funds for your special set-apart garments. Visit Remnant Remedy by going to the Hebrew Nation Radio Bookstore and clicking on the Remnant Remedy icon. Welcome back. This is Nitza Moshe with the Remnant Mama Show, and we are here with Suzette Robinson.
And we're going over a checklist. And Suzette, you want to take that off with a little review and then get back into the auto checklist, unless you have something left to share on the last topic?
I think we're good. We'll review the auto checklist that we started last week. Always prayer to Yah for his traveling mercies and to listen to his voice. And if you know somebody that's traveling, I always love to tell them, you know, traveling mercies for them, or say a prayer for them, especially for our brethren. It's always a great idea. Two, blankets. We talked about that. Wool is best because it maintains its insulating factor even when it's wet. A tarp. I recommend two, or plastic sheeting and a tarp, in case you have to make yourself a shelter. So you have one for under you to keep you off the wet ground and one for over you. water, and a filter, because if you have water but it's not clean, you're going to have to filter it. Flashlight with good batteries. Again, I recommend the good alkaline batteries. The crank flashlights are okay, but only as a backup, because if you're in a survival situation, the last thing you want to do is have to have the physical strength to crank your flashlight to have light. You just don't want to have to deal with that. You're going to have enough things to handle without having to deal with that. Small shovel. I like the military entrenching tool that comes, it folds up in a nice pouch. It's heavy duty. Cat litter
Excuse me. Let's go back to that flashlight situation. What if it's more than a couple of weeks? Wouldn't we want a supply of candles and learn how to make our own candles?
Absolutely. I buy a lot of candles. If you go to garage sales and stuff, they're out there. And I used to sell candles, so I do know how to make candles. It's a great skill to have.
Okay.
And having the basic supplies of wicks and some wax on hand and collecting those, like those peanut butter jars, it's a great way to have them. And having one in your car is a great idea for getting a little bit of warmth. One travel candle at least.
Right. And just to mention, if you can find, they're getting scarcer and scarcer, find yourself a local honey person, because you can, number one, get local raw honey, which helps with allergies, and you can buy the beeswax. And the beeswax can also be used to make your own salves, which are much more healthier. There's really no need for us to go out and buy bad chemical lotions, salves, etc., for our skin and body when, once we learn how to make a basic salve and use essential oils. Just a basic salve in and of itself is worth its weight in gold. And so try to find yourself a local honey grower, and you might even have to get on a list, because with the electromagnetic frequency pollution, etc., and the diseases that are going on, bees are becoming a real problem with being able to produce healthy bees. So I encourage you to find you a local grower.
Yeah, and honey is the only food that never spoils. So it's right. A great food that you can put in your car and in your supplies list, but raw honey, good honey. Not, there's studies that show, I guess if it doesn't have any pollen, it's not considered real honey because it's been overprocessed. And it was amazing to me when I read the article on that on the internet of how many companies' honey did not qualify. Even Costco, which I love, their honey doesn't qualify as real honey because it did not have pollen left in it. And they said the stuff in the grocery stores often is just, it's just really not real honey.
Well, actually, if you've ever, you know, we've had raw honey for over 20 years. And so I have tasted store-bought honey sometimes, and it is it's beyond disgusting. But one of the ways you can tell if your honey is really good and raw, because you could get raw honey or think you're getting raw honey, basically it means it's been heated. And not that heated honey's all that bad for you in and of itself, but if it's raw and it's never been heated, it's much better for you. And one of the ways you can tell that, which most people won't like, is that when you buy that raw honey, is if it turns to crystal. If it turns to crystal, supposedly that is a sign that it's raw honey and it will crystallize faster and easier. And all you have to do is, you know, either take it out with a spoon or heat it up. And, you know, for baking, because like if you're going to bake with it anyway, it's going to get, you know, melted. But that is one way to tell. And what you're buying in the store, it's just like the difference between grinding your own wheat and making your own bread. The honey you're buying in the store is not the honey that you're going to get from a local grower.
Right. And it's so far from the real thing. And raw honey, I found the first time I ever tasted raw honey, it was like eating the most magnificent candy. It was amazing after, you know, just living on the regular store stuff.
Right. And you can use it. We need to probably cover that more one time, but you can use it for a lot of medicinal purposes on wounds also.
Yep. Yep. Had some experience with that myself recently. Okay. Back to our auto list. We have cat litter, especially if you're in snowy or icy areas, you need that for traction. You can also use sand. Magnetic emergency flasher, you can put that on your vehicle. In Europe, they have laws where you have to carry a first aid kit, rubber gloves, and a warning triangle. And you have to put it out so many feet behind your vehicle. if you break down. And it's really helpful to not get smacked into if you do happen to, you know, break down on the side of the road or something. Extra clothing. This is really, really critical. There's a rule of three in the preparedness world. You can live 3 minutes, basically 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter in extreme conditions, 3 days without water, or 3 weeks without food. So your number one threat is really the elements against your body and hypothermia and stuff like that. And it's easier to get hypothermic when it's 50 degrees and you're wet than if it's 30 degrees and you're dry. So it's really important to have the proper gear. If you're in a cold climate, good snow boots, good gloves, good changes of socks, a snowsuit, a ski suit, whatever. Have those things for each member of the family in the car at all times when you're traveling in the cold months.
And remember, consignment shops for that winter stuff is really a good way to shop, because those items can be very costly. If you can hit the sales at the stores before or after the season and get those consignment shop, especially in the spring or summer or right before the winter, you know, when people are changing out, those are important.
Yeah, I recently picked up a wool coat. I mean, it's red. It's not something I want to wear every day, but it's a real wool coat. And it was like $8, and I didn't take it to the dry cleaners. I washed it I have a front load washing machine and hung it dry, and it came out beautifully. And that will keep its insulating factor in its loft, even if it's wet. It was very inexpensive compared to new. And they're really plentiful at the thrift stores and stuff. Small comfort items. If you have children, you probably already travel with stuff like that, but a deck of cards, some hand games that they can play, maybe some color crayons and a coloring book. And the little candies, like when you go and you get the little mint or something somewhere, not the chocolatey ones, but the peppermint hard candies. I keep those, and I keep those in a little stash in my car, because just that little bit of sugar or that little pick-me-up that you would get from something like that might be enough to help your mood and to help your energy level. The heated glove warmers, they also have boot warmers. Those can really ward off frostbite. And you recommended your Remnant Remedies Circle of Life essential oil.
Right, especially because it helps with circulation, and we've used it for frostbite. And also, you know, think about, we have ginger oil, but, you know, you could also do fresh ginger or cayenne. Have cayenne on hand in your bug out bag for sure. Helichrysum italicum or cypress for bleeding. Cayenne is for bleeding, but it's also the ginger and the ginger and the cayenne can also be used to warm the inside of the body also. So those are things to consider in your whole preparedness arena there.
That's excellent.
And we'll be right back after this short message about how you can get a Remnant Remedy first aid kit for your preparedness supplies.
Rise up, my bride, don't you know? On your heels are the days of war.
Are you preparing for Jacob's trials? Would you like a natural remedy first aid kit with 10 of the most essential therapeutic grade essential oils? Remnant Remedy has made it easy for you by creating the Remnant Remedy Chest No. 1, which is a basic first aid starter kit with 10 essential oils and a free carrying case. For more information, go to the Hebrew Nation Radio Store and click on Remnant Remedy. Remember, your purchase helps support your family's health and this radio station's ministry. Welcome back as we continue.
A folding saw or a chainsaw, in case there's downed trees or things in the roadway.
Multi-tool. Or if you have to build temporary shelter.
Oh, absolutely. A multi-tool or a pocket knife. I recommend a multi-tool. There's just so much that you can do with one of those, and they're not that expensive. You can get really good ones, and if you can afford it, get it. But there's even keychain size ones that you can get for $5. I have one that I've carried for years. I have a full-size one, and then I have a keychain one, and I've used that keychain one for a lot of things, and it was $5 at Aco Hardware 1 year. A heat source, such as a candle, matches. I recommend a lighter. You can have matches as a backup, but magnesium fire starter would be the best thing. And a lighter first, magnesium fire starter, and matches. In that order, I would have all three in my vehicle because fire is very, very important. Protection against wild animals. So if you have a state where you can carry a rifle or things in your car, have that in the, or a hatchet or something if need be. Battery-powered radio. You can do the crank ones, but I don't recommend that other than as a backup. And food, a little bit of, you know, there's some emergency food that you can buy that's made to store in a car. I'll try to have the name for that for the next show. And it's a block of like a block of food sealed up in like a foil, and then there's little water boxes, and they're made to be hot and cold, and they last for 5 years. Or you can do MREs or some kind of dried beans or some canned soups or something like that that you can, jerky, things that you can just have in there, dried fruits and things. Compass.
Yeah, or homemade granola.
Yes.
Suzette, I would just like to take a moment before we have to leave today that you have created a wonderful PowerPoint and a checklist and a list, a resource list with lists of books and websites and all kinds of information to support what we are doing here. And again, we cannot go into detail and take the time to explain a lot about any of these things, but they're things for the listeners to go and check out, consider, and pray about whether or not these are things that they should physically do to plan or prepare. And each thing that we mention as we're going through this list or these resource lists are topics within themselves, and we encourage you who are listening to go research these items, and we are just trying to direct you and give you a place to start. And you can get this PowerPoint and resource list and this checkoff list for the preparedness for your flea bag or your automobile, etc., at www.paintedtongue.com. That's painted as in P-A-I-N-T-E-D, tongue, T-O-N-G-U-E.com. And I would just want to say, Suzette, that I am so thankful that you have done this and that you're willing to share this on this radio series for Preparing the Remnant Bride. And we just bless you. And if anyone lives in the Michigan area or who will maybe perhaps be attending a Sukkot or might would like to have Suzette speak or share with your group, she has done this at different groups and at Sukkots, you know, you can contact her and just email me, Nitsa@remnantremedy.net, and I will get you the information for Suzette Robinson to share about preparedness. And for those of the listeners who are linen lovers and are looking for an inexpensive way to transition to linen, Suzette is the one who presents our Shoshana Affordable Linen Transitional Wear at Remnant Remedy. So be sure to check out her linen garments.
We're going to have to finish this list, Suzette, next week. We're going to, we just have a few more items. We'll have to finish that when we come back, and then we'll go into the general emergency supplies and the bug out bags. And thank you for being with us. Is there anything else you want to wrap up? We got about less than 60 seconds.
Nope, just thank you for having me, and we look forward to the next time. And just shalom to everyone.
Bless you. And listeners, please join us again next time on part 2B of Preparedness Skills for the Remnant Bride. May your garments always be white, and let your head lack no shimmin. Shalom.
She takes the time to prepare. She bends her heart to Yahweh in prayer. When she hears of disaster, she is not scared.